What is it more than anything else that attracts people to the Christian faith? Answer: Christian men and women. What is it that more than anything else puts people off the Christian faith? Answer: Christian men and women. It seems strange, but it's true. On the one hand, the life of Christians can be immensely attractive. When I first began seriously thinking about the Christian faith, what kept me searching was the obviously fulfilled life of a Christian friend. His calm excitement in all of life. And I knew that stemmed from his Christian faith. Well, I think of a college friend of mine who committed his life to Christ. And shortly afterwards, I asked him why. I used to go into the dining hall, he said, and look around. And it was quite obvious that the Christians were the happiest people there. And yet, at the same time, people are held back from Christian commitment for precisely the same reason. They have an acquaintance who's a Christian, and they say, I don't want to be like him or her. They know a Christian group where they work or study, and think, I don't want to get in with them. I wonder how you feel. Perhaps you came to new faith in Christ over the days that David Watson was here. Perhaps you've been coming to All Souls for a few weeks, and here are all these other Christians, and you're beginning to ask, what is my relationship with them? Is it true, as many people say, that religion is a private affair? Or do I in some way tie in with others who belong to Christ? Or tonight you've rededicated yourself to service in the church, and service means serving people. But what kind of commitment have you made? What is your relationship with others in this church? This story from the Gospels answers those questions. A very simple story. Jesus is inside a house, speaking to a crowd of people. His mother and brothers arrive, wanting to speak to him right away. But they can't get through because of the crowd. And when Jesus hears of their arrival, he makes a very clear statement, telling us three things about the relationship between Christians. First, it is a family relationship. Jesus' family arrived. And the news appears to have triggered off two reactions in Jesus himself. First, there was a mild rebuke for his human family. We'll come back to that later. And second, it seems a surge of love for his disciples. He stretched out his hands towards them, verse 49, and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers." And then he goes on, verse 50, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." He felt he could only describe his relationship with his followers in the closest possible in family terms. They were brothers and sisters whom he loved, to whom he felt deeply attached. And some of them were like mothers. They fed him, they looked after him, doubtless they darned his clothes or bought him a new pair of sandals. Together they formed his true family. So what does this tell us about our life as Christians? Two things. It says first that to be a Christian is to have a family relationship with God. Jesus was God's only begotten Son. He spoke of God as, verse 50, "my Father in heaven." But now, says Jesus, others have been admitted to the family circle, so that all Christian disciples have become brothers and sisters, adopted children of the same Father. And Jesus, who is God come to earth, is within the family as our elder brother. He says to us, verse 50, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And this means, amongst other things, that we can speak to God, our Father. We can speak to Jesus, our brother, at any time. Jesus' human family came, verse 46, asking to speak to him. But Jesus said he had another family, the Christian family. He was speaking with them. And God is always ready to listen and speak when members of his Christian family come to him. That's why Jesus taught us to begin our prayers, "Our Father." Because we're coming to the Father of the family. Or we could begin, "Lord Jesus, our brother." And they will listen to the family. I wonder if you've ever begun to pray and then given up because you've thought it's not worth it. My requests are so petty, so unimportant. God won't be bothered with them. But you know that nothing is too unimportant in a loving family. And Jesus says that if we've put our trust in him, God has become our Father. Jesus is our elder brother. We can speak to them about anything and know they'll listen. We've been given a family relationship with God. And we've also been given a family relationship with each other. Jesus says, verse 50, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And that means not only that we're related to him, but we're related to each other. Yes, every other Christian here, and to every Christian we're related throughout the world. But you say, "There are so many." That doesn't make the family any less real. On my mother's side, we have a large family. My mother was one of 13 children. And on that side alone, I have 33 first cousins. And the next generation I was just totting up so far, this is the generation below mine, so far numbers 75, and will probably top the 100 mark before long. Now, every now and then at a christening or a wedding, we have a pretty large family gathering. Often there are 20 or 30 whose names I don't even know. Some I've never met. But we get talking, and I'm not a stranger. There's a warmth, an interest, a desire to know each other better because we're members of the same family. And it's this relationship which we have, says Jesus, with each other. You come to All Souls and sit down next to people you've never met before. But they're not strangers. They're family members. And so we mustn't be standoffish, keeping ourselves to ourselves, at a pinch sharing a hymn book if we're unlucky. There should be a family warmth, an interest, a natural turning to one another and starting to talk. And you might even find that the person you're sitting next to isn't a stranger at all. It's just Roger Simpson in a suit. Incidentally, if you want to know the latest fashion, I hadn't actually realized this. is to keep the price tag on your cuff. But this family is not just here in All Souls. You and I have brothers and sisters throughout the world. I remember once arriving in Munich. I booked into what I thought was a cheap hotel. Turned out to be a DOS house for down and outs. I hadn't slept well for days, and I didn't sleep well that night. I was physically and emotionally exhausted. And I went on Sunday to a little American Baptist church. An American serviceman and his wife greeted me, talked to me, and had me home for lunch. I am longing to see them in heaven to thank them. That afternoon restored me. An afternoon spent with the family. Jesus says that in the church we have a family relationship. And secondly, a special relationship. Because this relationship is not enjoyed by all. Only some belong to the family. Jesus says quite clearly in verse 50, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." What does it mean to do the will of the Father in heaven? Clearly, it does not mean to obey what God has said in every particular, to be perfect. If only those who obey God's will perfectly are Jesus' brother and sister and mother, then Jesus has no family. St. Peter didn't obey God perfectly, nor did Thomas, nor did James and John. No. God has made the main thrust of his will clear. It's there in Jesus' first recorded words. Repent and believe the gospel. Mark 1 verse 15. Those who have repented and believed the gospel are Jesus' family. That's why in verse 49 he stretches out his hand to the disciples and says, "Here are my mother and my brothers." All committed Christians are members of God's family. So that if you have, to the best of your ability, turned your back on what you know has been wrong in your life, that's repentance. And if you've believed in the good news that Christ has brought you forgiveness, whether you took the step at the meetings with David Watson or some time ago, then you are part of God's family in a special relationship. Now, this clear teaching of Jesus goes against what many people believe today. They say we're all God's children, everyone in this world. God is the Father of us all. It sounds very good, doesn't it? Very generous. But it's wishful thinking. Jesus says it's only his disciples, only those who have done God's will and accepted Christ, who belong to God's true family. And sadly, that means there are others, friends of ours and close relatives, who are not part of God's family. Because they haven't yet come to do the will of God. But just because this relationship is special, it doesn't mean it's exclusive. It doesn't mean that our friends who are not members of God's family now will be shut out forever. On the contrary, Jesus says, verse 50, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And that includes everyone. The family of God is a family to which any number can be added. And during their lifetime, our friends have the possibility of being taken in. But they need our help. Of course we must be tactful, not pushy, especially with our parents and our human family. But gently and prayerfully, we can help our friends come into the family of God and enjoy with us this marvelous, special relationship. And then Jesus teaches that the family relationship between Christians is, thirdly, the most important relationship. Imagine the scene again. Jesus is engaged in preaching, in speaking to the people. And word reaches him that his mother and brothers have arrived and want to have a talk with him. Now, how do you think he will act? Surely he will stop preaching, call off the meeting, and go out to his mother. But no. When the message gets through to him, he asks a question. Verse 48. He replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" And then, verse 49, stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers." He asks, what is the most vital, the most significant relationship for me? And he replies, it is no longer my human family, but the Christian family. They are now the people who come first for me. Of course, we must be very careful not to get Jesus wrong here. This is not at all a rejection of all human family ties. And you remember how on the cross, amidst all his agony, Jesus remembered his mother and told St. John to look after her as if she were his own mother, and Mary to look on John as a son. Jesus certainly loved his mother deeply. But he says here that he has a more important relationship with Christians. That the Christian family relationship is not necessarily the one that moves him most, but it is the most important relationship. So what does this mean in practice for us? Suppose you've recently come to Christ from a Buddhist background, or you've been brought up as a Muslim or a Jew, and your parents are deeply upset by your conversion. Now, I'm not suggesting you pay no attention to their feelings. I'm not suggesting you get baptized immediately. But surely the logic of this passage is that most will need to insist on going to church every Sunday. Your parents may not like it, especially when you're living at home. They may put pressure on you not to go. But the Christian family is the most important relationship, according to Jesus. And you must meet with your new Christian brothers and sisters. Well, let me give you an example from the English culture. When I was at university, one Saturday each year, my father brought a cricket team to play against my college. And during the day itself, I hardly saw my father or one of my brothers who was also playing. And in the evening, there was a slap-up meal when I could meet them. However, Saturday evening was the time of our main Christian Union meeting. So I felt I needed to forego their company and, which was a hard decision for me, excellent food, to be with my fellow Christians. And if this relationship with Christians is more important than our human families, then surely it's more important than a night class in Spanish or pottery. It's more important than revision for a professional exam. It's more important than a film you wanted to see. Suppose your mother and or your father rang you up and invited you to a meal, and you said, "I'm sorry, I won't be coming. There's a really good program on the TV. But of course, you'd never say that. You wouldn't value your human family relationship so low. And here is the most important relationship, the relationship with Christians. Here is the opportunity to meet with them in a house group, in what we call our fellowship groups on Tuesday evenings, or for new Christians, a beginner's group on other evenings in the week. Do you make sure that all other plans are dropped so that you can be there? It's marvelous that we have over 70 of these small groups, but do you belong to one? And if so, do you go to it regularly? This needs to be top priority. Because, says Jesus, it is a top priority relationship. More important even than your human family relationships. I want to close with two implications. Two things to get clear in our heads which follow from these verses. And the first is this. Every Christian I meet is my brother or my sister. Yes, every Christian. I've been saying this to myself since preparing this sermon, and it's made a great difference to the encounters I've had with people. It means that when we meet someone in church, our heart doesn't sink into our boots, because this is not yet another visitor. This is another brother or sister, another member of the family. And if you came to the newcomers' teas here, we've had one just this afternoon, you'd be amazed and very encouraged at the sheer variety of people who belong to our Christian family. So say to yourself, as I do to myself, every Christian I meet is my brother or my sister. And the second thing to say is this. Relationships within the Christian family have become the most important for me. Not that my human family is unimportant. Not that I'm going to cut myself off from my friends who aren't Christians. On the contrary, I will seek gently to bring them with me into the Christian family. But the most precious, potentially the closest relationships, are those with my brother and sister Christians. And so I will want to spend time with my Christian family in small groups and in personal friendships. I will want to develop these relationships so that they are really close. And again, those of us who have stood tonight have been rededicating ourselves not to organizations, but to people, to Jesus, our brother, and to the church family. And as the family love and unity grows, Christian men and women will no longer put others off the Christian faith. Our family life will be the strongest possible advertisement, especially in lonely London, for the truth and power of the Christian faith. Let us pray that that will be so. First, a moment of silence, whether we stood or not this morning or this evening, in the quiet of our hearts, we rededicate ourselves to Christ first and foremost, our elder brother, but then also to our other brothers and sisters in the Christian family.
Dear Father, the Father of our family, we thank you that you've given us so many brothers and sisters here and scattered throughout the world. So many different types and backgrounds, with so many different thoughts and ideas and interests, but all part of the family, because all belonging to you. Thank you. And help us to pour out our love, not only to you, though to you first and foremost, but also with great lavishness to the whole of our Christian family. In Jesus' name, amen.